how if we cut and we do it too early, that can spur more inflation, which is going to drive prices back up. If we raise, that's going to obliterate markets because we saw what happened in 2022. And so it's like one of those things, if they were smart, I think they'd just all retire right now.
You're listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, where you get valuable information you just can't find anywhere else. To thrive in today's trying times, you need the Financial Survival Network now more than ever. Go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com and get your free newsletter and gift. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.
And welcome. You are listening to watching the Financial Survival Network. I'm your host, Carrie Lutz. Well, hey, we're in the last day of February. Just got some important numbers out from the Fed, the PCE, personal consumption expenditures. And let's talk with our good friend, Eddie Gifford, find out what that number is telling us now. Eddie, welcome back.
Thank you for having me again, Carrie. Yeah, I mean, we kind of had a foreshadowing because last month CPI and PPI were hotter than expected. So everyone revised the print up for this. And so everything ended up coming in alignment today. The issue that we have with that is when you look at core PCE, it's at 0.4%. Now, if we were to annualize or extrapolate that out, that would mean 4.8% over the course of a year. And keep in mind that the Fed's target is 2%. So what it's telling us right now, you know, and we don't know, is this a blip? Is the CPI, PPI print and the PCE print, is that a blip? Or is inflation starting to come back? And you know, the interesting thing is that personal incomes went up, but spending went down. So I think that even the consumer is kind of like uncertain right now. And I do not envy the Fed right now, Kerry. I do not envy them at all.
Yeah. Well, they're kind of between a rock and a hard place. What do you think they're going to do? They're already kind of pulling back on the interest rate cuts, and the market seems to be suffering the result of it, right?
Yeah, I think that what they're going to try to do for as long as possible is absolutely nothing. They're in this little like Goldilocks, like, well, you know, we already know how things are doing at the current rates. If we cut and we do it too early, that can spur more inflation, which is going to drive prices back up. If we raise, that's going to obliterate markets because we saw what happened in 2022. And so it's like one of those things, if they were smart, I think they'd just all retire right now. Because, hey, they did a pretty good job of getting where we're at. But definitely the market, as usual, the market doesn't like uncertainty. And so at least if they do nothing, then, you know, they're not like making the market uncertain in either direction. But it does put us in a scenario where we probably see some sideways action for a while until we kind of know what's happening. I think that the AI run-up is kind of like hitting exhaustion right now. So, you know, there's probably another sectors that may take the lead there. We just don't know which ones yet. And, you know, we're heading to March, and historically things tend to break in March. So there's that. So there's definitely a lot of stuff to be wary of. And the fact that the backstop Fed put in place last March is expiring this March. So that'll be interesting to see if that affects the regional banks and the banking sector in general.
Right. So, I mean, it seems like, you know, we're just getting like half the story here, you know, that they're just telling us one thing, but they're really not being honest with the American public, are they?
Well, I mean, even if you just look at the way that CPI is calculated, it's calculated differently than it was the last time that we saw these types of bouts of inflation, that the numbers would be much higher if they still calculated it the way they did in the 70s. So, you know, right there, I think that the American public understands that, you know, things aren't only 4% more expensive. You know, they're a lot more expensive than that. And the other thing they keep telling us is that inflation is coming down. That's a lie. Inflation is slowing. You know, it stacks on top of each other. So, yeah, maybe it's slowing. Maybe it's only 4% over the last 12 months, but we got to stack that on top of like 10 and 20, and then we got compound interest. And so people are paying 30 to 40% more than they were 3 years ago for the same stuff. And I think that's starting to hit the pocketbook. I think that we're hitting the credit limits for a lot of people. You know, unfortunately, we don't have an unlimited amount of credit like the United States government does. And, you know, the thing that scares me about all this is this whole, like, buy now, pay later thing. Every time that there's, like, a purchase on your credit card of, like, $2,000 or more, you get this pop-up that says, hey, do you want to pay this over the next 6 months with no interest? And I just think that, like, all those things will pile up. I don't know, like, when it's going to crack, but we are in a situation where the Fed is sitting here wondering what to do. And on one side of the fence, inflation comes back and they have to start raising. On the other side of the fence, something breaks, and that's why we see rapid rate cuts. Both of those scenarios are no good for markets. And you know, but at the same time, you can't just run away from the markets. We've had this, like, historic bull run that we haven't seen in a long time since, like, 2000. So it's very, very bubble-esque, but bubbles can grow and inflate for a long time. And so, you know, it's okay to kind of ride the wave, so to speak, but you just got to make sure you got some exits in there to protect yourselves, because when this thing turns, it's always one of those things where it's slow, and then all of a sudden it accelerates very rapidly to the downside because of the lack of liquidity. So trade with caution and just make sure that you're staying nimble.
All right. So speaking of bubbles, what are you thinking about cryptocurrencies now and Bitcoin?
Well, you know, I wasn't a believer at first in Bitcoin. I don't know if I'm a believer in holding it yet, but I think that if it's not potentially part of your portfolio, you're making a mistake, from the standpoint that it's very tradable, and the moves are you know, typically rapid and violent. And so, as I was saying earlier, if we have profit targets and we have stops, you can make a lot of money, and you don't have to be on the whole roller coaster ride of the big 100% up and then the 80% down and then playing that game. So I think that advisors, it would be smart for them to start including this in portfolio. I think that you know, investors, I think that having some of it in the portfolio can serve as a good diversifier. But I don't think we're at a point where we own it yet. I think that we're still at a point where we trade it. Of course, there are, you know, it's been opened up to a lot more investors because of the recent spot ETF approvals.
Sure.
And everyone keeps talking about the Bitcoin halving that's happening in the next couple of months. And that's, generally speaking, been a catalyst for bull markets in Bitcoin. So there is some merit there to at least, like, trading it within a portfolio or you know, rapid in, rapid out type stuff. But if you're going to own it, I mean, it's more volatile than anything you've ever held. So it'll be an emotional, you may become an emotional basket case if you're not used to that type of stuff.
Well, it looks clear to me right now. It's it hit close to 63,000 today as we're speaking on February 29th. And now it's pulled back a little. It's just under 62. It's obviously going to go into record territory here. I think there's no question about it, is there?
I think there's thrust behind it. I think that, you know, obviously, like, the print is behind us, and we don't really have anything else until mid-March from an inflationary standpoint, especially if the next inflation print ends up being, like, less than expected. You know, that's obviously good for technology, but we've seen Bitcoin react very favorably to decreasing rates. And so that and the halving and more people getting into it with the spot ETFs, it would surprise me if it doesn't hit new highs. But we have been on this almost vertical trajectory. And that's scary.
Parabolic.
It truly is. And parabolic is called parabolic for a reason, because it goes up really, really fast and then it goes down
really fast.
Exactly.
Yes. And that problem can be a big problem for your portfolio if you're on the wrong end of the problem, right?
That's correct.
All right. So precious metals, at least gold is holding pretty steady in that 2,000 plus range.
Yeah, I think gold is the main thing to watch here. You know, everybody's talking about Bitcoin and you know, store of value and all this. I mean, in my opinion, that's garbage. Bitcoin is not a store of value. It is an investment. It moves up and down.
And that's
very volatile. You know, there isn't actually something behind it. You know, it's still a technology. Now, it is a medium for exchange. So that can be very beneficial to a lot of people, especially outside the United States that maybe don't have a medium of exchange. But when it comes down to it, you watch gold. If gold continues to creep up and we see gold break through and go to that 2,200-2,300 level, then we probably see something break in the economy. And gold, generally speaking, is a leading indicator. And so when we start to see that thing rise, especially when we're in an elevated interest rate environment where it doesn't look like they're cutting anytime soon, that means the rise is not related to interest rates. The rise is related to fear. And if that's the case, then it's definitely important to start paying a little bit closer attention to your portfolio.
Yeah, no question about it there, for sure. So what's an investor supposed to do? Do you just pull out of the market now and take your marbles and go home, or what are you supposed to do here?
Well, if you were smart enough to be in since like last January and you rode Nvidia all the way up a couple doubles, then yeah, there's no problem with taking your money and setting aside and earning some interest, because we're still getting over 5% on treasuries right now on short term treasuries. But in general, I think that you just have to have balance. Yeah, you have to have a portfolio that ebbs and flows. You have to have stuff in there that buoys your portfolio if you're wrong, right? But I don't feel like you can run away from this thing yet. I feel like you need to continue to stay invested, but you need to make sure that you have stops and targets in place. You need to make sure that you have some type of insulator in that portfolio to protect you. And the easy answer, generally speaking, would be something like treasuries, but that's only if something breaks. If the reason something breaks is because interest rates go higher, that's going to clobber just like it did in 2022. And then you've got to start looking into some market neutral or managed futures type stuff. So it's just going to have a portfolio that looks a little bit different than the portfolio has looked over the last 20 years, for sure.
Okay. All right, Eddie, tell us, where do we find you on the web these days?
Easiest way, you can just jump on and Google me, Eddie Gifford. That's Eddie with a Y, Gifford, G-I-F-F-O-R-D. Eddie Gifford, or Tactive Wealth, /Eddie-Gifford. That's where you can kind of get to know me and how I do things and all of that good stuff. But we're here for you. We know that it's a scary time. We know that there's a lot of stuff out there that can go wrong. And because of that, we're willing to be here and answer questions, even if that means you don't become a client. We just want to be a resource. So,
all right. Hey, well, we always appreciate you coming on. You got a question for Eddie or myself? The email address is kl@carrylutz.com. The link to Eddie's site is in the show notes of this interview on financialsurvivalnetwork.com. While you're there, sign up for your free newsletter. Eddie, always a pleasure. Thanks for stopping by. We'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Carrie Lutz's Financial Survival Network, your solution to today's trying times. For the latest, go to financialsurvivalnetwork.com. Financial Survival Network, now more than ever.